Blog Talk Radio.
Together in unity once again around this spectrum.
Father, cards were coming from the north, south, east, and west as pilgrims through this barren land. Father God, I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardon of their sins. I'm asking you, dear Father, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to those who are hurting deep within the enemy of their souls. These and other blessings I ask in thy Son, Jesus' mighty name. And we of the unity shall say, amen and amen. And I just thank those of you out there in my podcast listening audience that are able to join me today. And I'm just so delighted to be coming. And on this afternoon, I tell you, it's just a privilege and a blessing and an honor to come before your presence and to be able to unite, hallelujah, and sanctity of God. I just thank you and you and you. And so our sermon, we have been talking about for the last, previous programs, we have been talking about adversity. And saints of God, you know, adversity is something that we experience, not just in times of sorrow, but we face this adversity every day on a daily basis. You know, you experience adversity on your workplace, maybe with your, you know, the president of the company or the CEO. Then you have adversities at the daycare facilities where your child might be a member of the daycare. And then you also have adversities also on our university campus, even with the dean of instruction. You might have adversity with a business partner that you went in business with. And then we have adversities in our home. We have adversities with our family members that we don't agree all the time together on different things that, you know, we're talking about. And so maybe you've had a longtime friend that you have, you know, had a difference of an opinion, you know, and maybe y'all are no longer talking. Well, that's adversity right there, you know. So we acquire this on a daily basis. And so this is not to say that, you know, you're going to have these trials and tribulations all the time, because they don't. They go around. They go around from person to person, you know. And so each one of us have our fair share of adversities, you know, during our lifetime. And so, and like I said, you know, we have been forewarned and to handle, I mean, all of the pressures and challenges, you know, of our daily lives and the challenges and pressures of those of you that are married in your marital life. And it helps to have some advanced warning, though. And God said that he gives us warning before destruction. So it's the same in the Christian life. There's no reason for you to be scandalized or shocked, because we have been warned ahead of time. Now, unless you were led to Christ and disowned by someone who told you a lie, namely, trust Christ, and all your problems will be solved, then you are in for a real shocker. But if you have been faithfully and realistically trained, you have been equipped to handle this part of God's training program. And you can stand firm through your journey along the adventure and the avenue of affliction. When your comfort zone gets a squeeze, you're not blown away. You can handle it with remarkable inner peace. And by the way, you can't if you don't have Christ. Without Christ, you can do no more than enter into this life that I'm describing, that you can fly by flapping your arms in order for there to be that ramrod in your back, in order for you to be able to stand firm against times of adversity. Christ must remain first place. And before that can occur, it is essential that you have the Lord Jesus in your life. That it was automatically simple because you were born into a Christian home. You aren't a Christian just because you have moved into a Christian community or because you attend a church that preaches the truth of the gospel. You individually and independently must make that decision on your own. Hallelujah. Only then can you know you're in God's family. And only then can you take life blows on the chin without being shot out. And we also know that there are reactions and afflictions. You see, when we succumb to those overwhelming feelings of adversity, we tend to have three very normal and human reactions. First, resentment toward a former authority or figure. Secondly, isolation from a Christian friend. And thirdly, indifference regarding former teaching. We began to doubt what we were once taught. Interestingly, all three of these feelings are withstood by the Thessalonians. But now, you can see the contrast. I was concerned. I said, Timothy, but now Timothy has come back and he's brought us good news of your faith and love. Isn't that just like Paul? He man was never petty. He was never nosy. He was sincerely concerned about how they were coming along in their walk with Christ. And he said, you're doing great. How affirming. Now note that you always think kindly of us. Verse 6. You might think, why didn't he put that in there? Because one of the signs of a twisted response to affliction is resenting a formal authority. Guess who gets the business when a Christian is congregated defeat? The defeating Christian will often come back at the teacher. Sometimes it's the pastor. Sometimes it's the one who counseled him or her. But the Thessalonian didn't respond in that way. I got word that you still love me. You still think kindly of me. So they passed the first test, and they weren't resentful of Paul. I'm encouraged to know that you still think kindly of us. You always think kindly of us. So you're doing great. You refuse to blame me for what you're going through. We know that sometimes in this test, people will blame you for going through the trials and tribulations. But no one is to blame humanly. Well, I guess I got to retract that. Because, yes, someone is to blame. Sin is to blame. Sin brought on affliction in every one of our lives. I mean, there's no way around it. We will go through trials and tribulations as long as we exist here on planet Earth. But God affirms us that we will go through trials and tribulations, but I will bring you through them all. Now, isn't that wonderful? That is so wonderful, friends and extended church family and kinship family, to know that God will not just leave us by the wayside. He will not just leave us there to take on all of these pains and agony of suffering alone. But he's right there every step of the way. And I know that it's two friends of mine that's on Facebook that both have lost parents, both have lost their mothers. And I can talk on it because I, too, am a recipient of having lost a mother. So I know what they're going through. I can share in their pain. And I can also share in their triumphant. Because the Bible tells me, hallelujah, that weeping may endure for a night. Hallelujah, but you can rest assured that joy, not probably, not maybe, not a possibility, hallelujah, but joy cometh in the morning. You hear me? So you might be dead, broken, busted, and can't be trusted today. But soon as money breaks, you got a pile of money sitting at your doorstep. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God that will bring you out of every trial, every tribulation that you encounter here
We serve a God that can do anything that he's big enough and bad enough to do. And it's one thing that God just can't, won't do, and that is life. That is fail. There is no failing in God. We fail, we fall short. But God is one that always makes it great. God always comes through. God is not a God that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, hallelujah, will he not make it good? And I'm telling you, and I'm encouraging you and you and you that are out there in my digital listening audience on today, that whatever you're going through, if you lost a mother, God is with you. If you've lost a father, God is with you. If you've lost grandparents, God is with you. If you've lost uncle and aunt, God is with you. If you've lost a child, a son or daughter, God is with you. If you've lost grandchildren, God is with you every step of the way. God is with you. He has never left you. We leave God. God do not leave us. God is mindful of us every day that he touches us with a finger of his love and shake us into existence. When we rise up, you didn't get up on your own recognizance because you set your time watch, because you set your cell phone, because you set your alarm clock, but God touched you with the finger of his love and woken you this morning and said, rise, my daughter, rise, my son, hallelujah. God is the one that touched us with his great, big old loving, gigantic hands and told us to stand attention. And we're sitting here to testify that God is the reason that we're here today. Wasn't because of luck, wasn't because of something we done, but it was all because of God's grace and his good mercy that he just, so kindly, and he gives us even without charge. He don't charge us anything. We live in a conglomerate world to where we have to pay for just about everything. You have to pay for your water, even though God give you the spirit of water, the gift of water, eternity water for free. But we have to pay for the water that we drink. Our showering water, we have to pay for that. We have to pay for being warm. We have to pay for our gas. If we want to go anywhere in our automobiles, we have to pay for gas. If we want to live anywhere, we have to pay to have the roof over our head. So it's nothing free in this society, but God give us his life free. He give us a chance to be in his priesthood. Because when God went to Calvary Cross over 2,000 light years ago and hung, bled, and died, and the Bible says he gave us a ghost, God didn't just die because he wanted to, but God died because he loved us. God loved us to the point of death. And so whatever you're going through today, whatever you're experiencing, if it's unsettling on your job, I command that demonic spirit of unrest to cease, to go, to flee. You can speak it. It's in your tongue. You can speak either life or death into your circumstances. If it's a family member that you're not getting along with, I would suggest you write his or her name down and get you a prayer box. Put their names in a prayer box, put the date on it, and you tell God what you want him to do on your part. Believe it, and it's done. God says, yours for the asking. God gives us the desires of our heart. So don't worry about the pain that you're suffering. I'm reminded that one songwriter says, this too shall pass. Nothing stays the same. And God will give you, hallelujah, God will give you the strength that you need to subdue and to go through. And so, like I said, We note now that you have always think kindly of us. You might think, why did he put that in there? Like I said before, because one of the signs of a twisted response. So sometimes we can speak in a term to where it might upset the next individual because maybe they didn't get it right or they didn't get the right understanding. So we have to go back and clarify that, you know. We have to clarify that and then get it straight. So like I said, Paul told them that he was encouraged that they was doing great. Hallelujah. You know, and it's a good thing when you have church family members that love you enough to check up on you. You know, when you have those kind of people in your circle, you know, it's a rewarding thing to say, I just called to tell you, I didn't want anything, but I called to let you know that I love you. I called to let you know that I'm there for you if you need to talk. I'm there for you. If it's anything financially I can do, I'm there for you. If I can pray with you in prayer, I'm there for you. And we can always depend on God, because just like a good neighbor, Jesus was there. Jesus is here right now, this moment, this second. Jesus is here. So whatever you're going through, this too shall pass. Hallelujah. I want you to be encouraged. Your mother won't have to suffer anymore. She's gone on to rest until God called the dead up out the grave. A lot of people say, well, my mother gone home to glory. My father's gone home to glory. They have not been judged yet, so they hadn't went anywhere yet. They're still asleep until God called the dead from the grave. And you have to stand. You can't go to heaven without being judged. I know nobody to go to heaven before they stand before the judgment seat of God. My mother's gone home. I can't put my mother in heaven yet. That's for God to do. Because it's just like you making vows, Victoria, in your high school. If you are an A-grade student, then you will get that a salute as being a really smart student in your school setting. And so that means that you fit all the criteria that it's taken for you to get this certificate or this certification of acknowledgement. That's the same way it is with God. We have to stand before God. Our mother and father, our siblings that's gone on, every individual that's gone on before us, it's not in heaven yet. So we should quit saying they are in heaven because they are not in heaven yet. They are yet asleep. They are asleep until that great getting up morning, that great roll call of Jesus Christ. When Jesus calls the roll, hallelujah, every knee is going to bow. Everybody's going to stand at attention. They're going to salute Jesus as being Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Hallelujah. Hail to the King. God is over heaven, the highest of the heavens, and everything up under the earth, and everything sitting on the earth. God is the mastermind of it all. He is the creator of it all. So I want you to be encouraged today. Know that your mother don't have to suffer anymore. And we all hope and pray that our parents made it into glory. But that's for God to decide, not us. That's for God to make that choice. If they made it in, we hope and pray, and if they live the life that their daughters and sons are preaching about, are teaching about, are evangelizing about, then it's no doubt, and it shouldn't be no doubt in our mind that our fathers and mothers and aunts and uncles and grandparents went on, or they're going on, or are they going to be, you will be selected to enter into the heavenly gates. But we can't put them in heaven yet. They're just asleep. Everybody right now is just asleep. Hallelujah. So I know my time is running out. And I've got just a little bit more time. And we're going to wrap this up. But hallelujah. I just got excited there. I tell you, you go to talking about God and His goodness, you know, it will make you excited because God is an excited spiritual being. He excites us every day. He excites us even when He touches us, like I said, with His finger of love. Hallelujah. My God. So I just hope and pray within ending, before ending, I just hope and pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing to you in your daily walk with God, hallelujah. If you need any prayer petitions, you would like the old Ship of Zion to go down in prayer and pray upon your behalf, you can send all your remittance to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Ministry. The station is Blog Talk. The program is the old Ship of Zion. Attention, Senior Pastor Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Until we meet again, I'm encouraging you to go in God as God goes in you. Bye for now.
There was wrong people. Mm-hmm.